Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The full Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled the case involving Ahmed Rassam, caught on his way to LAX from Canada with a car full of explosives, needs to be sent back to the original presiding judge in Seattle. Federal sentencing guidelines call for 65 years to life for the al-Qaeda-trained terrorist's offenses, but he was given 22 years, and the appeals judges ruled that was unreasonably lenient. The question of how much to punish Rassam was complicated by the fact he cooperated with authorities, helping identify other jihadists and testifying in trials. A new study from UC Davis finds one out of every 10 residents in the state's main farm belts is at risk of drinking water contaminated with nitrates. As the California Report's Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca explains, these colorless, odorless pollutants are linked to fertilizer and animal manure.
People in the tiny rural community of Tooleyville, on the edge of Tulare County's citrus groves, pay more for their tap water than people in most big cities. Yet residents like Eunice Martinez also have to pay for bottled drinking water.
Pouring water into my pitcher, pouring it out from a 5-gallon container, either in a coffee pot or in pans, get a little cup, brush our teeth that way. So it must be nice to be able to go to your tap and get water and just drink straight from your glass.
For years, Tooleyville residents have avoided drinking tap water here because it's polluted with nitrates. The contaminants have been linked to thyroid problems and some cancers, as well as blue baby syndrome, which cuts off oxygen to infants and developing fetuses. The UC Davis study examined both communities here in the Tulare Lake Basin of the Central Valley and the Salinas Valley. Groundwater hydrologist Thomas Harder found animal manure and fertilizer applied to cropland are the main culprits.
We have been putting nitrate into groundwater for over 50 years at an increasing rate. And even if we removed all the sources tomorrow, the nitrate that's already in groundwater will affect drinking water wells for many decades out.
We've known it's a serious problem. Now we have a better handle on the extent of that problem.
Jonathan Bishop is chief deputy director at the State Water Board, which commissioned the study with direction from the legislature. The report estimates fixing drinking water systems in the Salinas and Tulare Lake basins alone could cost up to $35 million a year for decades to come. When it comes to preventing the pollution, Bishop says regulators have an enforcement challenge. Unlike a chemical spill, nitrates are hard to track as they leach into the groundwater.
We're not going to go out and stop people from applying fertilizer to the farms in California. That would end agriculture in California.
Nitrogen is an essential component of fertilizer, but regulators are trying out measures requiring farmers to use less. The Central Coast Regional Water Board is also considering rules that would penalize individual farmers for polluting the water. Agricultural groups want to hire their own third-party auditors to survey clusters of farms and protect the anonymity of individual growers. Abby Taylor Silva is with the Central Coast Growers Shipping Association.
Farmers do not operate in a totally controlled environment. There's water coming from a number of different places. It could be rainwater. It could be water coming from your neighbor's field that's contributing to the water on your ranch.
The regional board votes Thursday on the new rules, which would affect farmers in 9 counties along the Central Coast. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
Sasha's done some terrific reporting on nitrates in recent years. Look for the link at our website, californiareport.org. Governor Jerry Brown thinks voters will back his tax measure this fall, regardless of what else is on the ballot. That was Brown's message to reporters after a speech yesterday to the State Association of Police Chiefs. The governor now faces the real possibility of rival tax measures alongside his on the November ballot, and it's led to a fierce debate about the political consequences. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
It's unusual in California for a broad-based tax increase to make the statewide ballot, and even then, voters rarely say yes.
Tax initiatives are controversial because they bring up questions about trust in government. It's always a difficult road in California for tax initiatives.
Mark Baldessari is president of the Nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California. That voter distrust, he says, may help explain the Institute's poll last week. Only a bare majority, 52% of likely voters, support Governor Jerry Brown's tax increase. The governor's proposal for the fall ballot would temporarily increase income taxes on the wealthy and sales taxes on everyone. But two other tax measures are also aiming for November, including an initiative to raise taxes only on the most wealthy.
The millionaire's tax continues to be the most supported revenue measure that would go on the ballot in November.
Joshua Pestold is president of the California Federation of Teachers. His union is under considerable pressure from the governor's allies to drop its proposal. So, too, are backers of a third measure, an income tax increase on most everyone, with the money earmarked for K-12 schools. The problem, say Brown's backers, is that three separate tax increase initiatives on the November ballot is a catastrophe in the making. Their private poll concludes voters are at least 20% less likely to support a tax initiative if other tax proposals are also on the ballot. But backers of the millionaire's tax argue their own research finds voters disagree with the governor's camp. Amy Levin is the group's pollster.
A majority of voters do side with the idea that we should have multiple measures on the ballot. 53% agree with that proposition. 38% agree with Governor Brown.
The problem, as Governor Brown told reporters Monday, is the rival measures would all earmark tax revenues in a way that wouldn't count towards erasing the state budget deficit, now estimated at some $9 billion.
I think that the tax that I proposed is modest, it's doable, and it will actually prevent further budget cuts.
But the fact that Brown's measure is entwined inside the budget process makes it more complex, and it may be a harder sell politically, says pollster Mark Baldessari. Baldessari also believes the governor's proposal is suffering from the rancor among tax increase advocates over which way to go.
Whether or not measures get on the ballot, to me, matters less than whether there is a discussion that either confuses the voters or gives them pause for thought about whether any one particular measure is the way to go.
In eras gone by, a governor had the biggest microphone in the state and could often drive the debate. But now voters are bombarded by a constant stream of information. And like it or not, Brown may have to start the campaign for his measure sooner rather than later. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, March 13th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation. With nomination information about the 2013 Leadership Awards at www.irvine.org. And the California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org.